the community to get as many guys in this study as possible. Last year we had 200 plus. I'm hoping we have the same this year, if not more. And the reason for that is that all of us, to a man, need to be equipped with the Bible. And this Bible study, and there are others as well, is one way. It's 30 weeks, so this is a marathon to some extent. But get here as much as you can. We'll try to keep you on message. We'll try to give you the tools you need to be better men, better fathers, better husbands, and better men at your workplace or whatever you do. Getting into the Word will do more for you than anything else that I can give you. So I'll pat you on the back and I'll tell you how great you look, but giving you the Word is more than I can do for you. And that's what we're here to do. So you saw the video. That was from last year, but I watched it again and I thought, we need to hear that message. Because all of us are going to go through times this year, and you probably figured it out already, where you're going to be challenged. And it might be something light. It may seem light. Or it might be something really deep like we saw him speak of. The Word will help you get through it. Knowing it, embodying it, and getting closer to Jesus will help you get through it. So this will empower you. Okay? I'll review CBS, and then the coach will get up. For those of you who don't know Jerry Leachman, he is right here. And I love that guy, and I hope he loves me as much. You love me as much as I love you? I said, do you love me as much as I love you, Jerry? Come on. Help me out here. Thank you, Jerry. That's what I'm looking for from Jerry. Who's better than you? The other day I was speaking to this person at a different study. I'm an area director, by the way, which means I manage a couple of classes, or I think they manage me. And I had a young lady come up, and I'm talking to her about, first time, just like some of you, she's yapping with me, and we're chatting away, and she said, did anybody ever tell you that you look like a famous actor? I said, don't say it. I said, Robert De Niro. She said, yes. Okay, did you see it? You see it? Okay, huh? You see it? Okay, so, and the reason for that is, number one, I come from Brooklyn, that's where he's from. Number two, when I talk, I have certain mannerisms that he has. I think he's much better looking than me, by the way, and he's got a lot more money. I'm not sure if he's any closer to Jesus. I think I am, but that's on my list to see him someday and say, hey, I think we look like each other. Do you know Jesus? We'll see what he says. So, next slide, and we'll go into the program. For those of you who have never been to CBS before, and those of you who have been, this will be a refresher. We are talking here about a non-denominational Bible study. What does that mean? We're not affiliated with McLean Bible Church in the sense that we are non-denominational. We don't have, we're not Presbyterian, we're not Methodist, we're not anything else. It doesn't matter what denomination you come from to be in this Bible study, and we won't be talking about that at all. If we are, then we're off the message. Okay? So it doesn't really matter in terms of other people you might know who might be interested in, if they're a Catholic, if they're a whatever. They could be Buddhists for all I care. Get them in here. Okay? And if you're in here and you're a Buddhist or you're a Catholic, that's fine because this is where you should be, studying the Word of God. Okay? And NBC is our host and probably the most gracious host that I could ever imagine. Take a moment and just give them a big hand. I mean, them is everyone in the room. Okay? I think it's been about 8 years or so we've been doing this study here, and absolutely fantastic. They've always welcomed us. We're a part of their family. Before I go much further, I did want to mention that, of course, Jerry and I have this great love thing going, but also all of the leaders that are leaders of CBS this year, would you mind standing up for a moment? Everybody that's going to lead with us, just stand up. Okay? So these guys are highly trained. Isn't that funny? You're highly trained compared to the new guys you are, right? And they're going to be part of the team to help you through this. As you know, we'll be breaking up into classes later on. So how does it work? 4 points. It's a four-point method to help you go slow motion through the Bible. First part is home study. So when you leave here today, you'll have your book. If you don't have a book, Raise your hand. We'll get you one. Everybody have a book? Okay. There will be two of these this year. 15 lessons at a time. We expect you to spend about an hour to 2 hours a week. My recommendation is you spend 10, 20 minutes a day rather than an hour and a half Wednesday night, but that's up to you. Okay? You get a lot more out of it if you pace it. If you're traveling, we can get you a digital version of the lesson from your leader. So that's it. If you like doing it electronically, we can get that together for you. So all of those things are possible. The next part is after you've done your lesson at home, you come back to here, like we're doing tonight. The difference next week is you'll come in, we'll have an opening time, and then we'll dismiss you to your group. And you're probably wondering, what's a group if you're new? If you've been here before, you know what I'm talking about. A group is a smaller subset of you, some of you, that know each other and some of you that don't. We try to keep people together that have formed bonds, and it's all about relationships, so we try to do that. But we will put you in a group that we believe matches you the best, and then you're in that group for the rest of this year. And so at that point, you will read through your answers to the questions that you've done in your time at home. So that's the second exposure to the same material, right? The third part, when you come back from that, and if this was a regular night after about half an hour or so, 40 minutes, you'd come back here, everybody would sit down, be real quiet. Doesn't ever happen that way, but that would be nice. And you'll be here on time, which is about 8:30, something like that. And Jerry, or whomever's leading that week, usually it's Jerry, will get up, and they'll teach on that same passage and set of scripture that you have reviewed at home and done in your group, that he will teach you from that in a different way to get a little bit more emphasis. The fourth exposure to the same material is in the commentary. So after you've written everything, you've done the time in the class, listened to a teaching from Jerry or whomever, you will then have an opportunity to read from the writer of this book, who's done annotated what they believe this to be saying from their perspective, and they back-check it with a lot of different ways. So you're going to get four views of the same piece of scripture. In this case of next week, it's Joshua 1 and 2. Okay? Any questions about the method?
Are we meeting on Tuesday nights or Thursday nights?
Did I say Tuesday?
Your slide does.
Yeah, that's because I keep... That's so that you comment, which proves that you're watching. This is a three-year-old presentation. I just updated most of it. That's all. Go ahead. Good catch, though. Yes. We will be in the ESV. So if those of you who don't know what an ESV is, come up, see me. English Standard Version. And that's the version that CBS has written the material in. It says ESV. That's what I said. I don't need this job. I mean, I don't get paid anything, okay? Yeah, I know. I'm getting a raise. I'm getting a 100% raise. I'm going to get twice nothing or whatever. Anyway, listen, guys. We work on Thursdays, every Thursday. If it says Tuesday, ignore it. We're ESV Bible. Everybody got that one? Any arguments? No more arguments? Yes, Chris, what? Then it's an old one. Okay? Could be. Good. Okay, that's enough arguing. Let's move on to the next slide. Yes. I will. So show up time, thank you, Mike. 7:30 like you came last tonight, right? All right, let me get you back. 7:30, okay? 7:30? What are you going to do at 7:30? Anybody? And how long are you going to be in here? What? What time are you going to... How long are you going to be in this room before you get dismissed to the next thing, which you didn't tell me about yet? What is it?
5 minutes.
About 5 minutes. What are we going to do in here? Pray, maybe a little music, video, blah, 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 and then dismiss. And then what? What are we doing next? Small group. Having a good time, doing the lesson. Then what? 8:30 back here. What time are we going to be done? Okay, let me just tell you guys. We have done some soul searching on this topic. We are going to finish by 9:05. Make book on that one, okay? Like they say in Brooklyn, make book on that one, okay? We have a system, and it's going to work. Trust me. All right. Next slide. So you've already met Jerry. You met our core leaders. Paul Farrell could not be with us tonight. He's our assistant teaching director. He's in London, I believe. And so you'll see Paul a lot. Some of you probably know Paul. And then where's Dan Huthwaite? Dan was the gentleman that you met coming in. He's our coordinator. He manages all the sign-up and all the money and getting you the books and all that good stuff. So if somebody needs a book, that's the guy. If you have another somebody that wants to join that you want to bring, he will be taking all the information. So that's our team. And by the way, if any of you feel the Lord speaking to you, and some of you have been in class for many, many years, that maybe, hey, dude, you should check out this leader thing. Why not? Just like some of the, you'll see as we go through the servants of God, every one of them was like, me, God, you want me to? You'll see it. If you haven't read the New Old Testament, you know what I mean, but if you have. So I just want all of you to think about and pray about whether or not a leadership position in our Bible study is something for you. Okay? We always have openings for leaders, but it's not something that we would want you to volunteer. We want you to pray about it and come talk to us, and we'll talk to you about it. We may tap you on the shoulder as well. Okay? So just be thinking about that. Some of you may have never thought that you could be a leader here. Some of you are saying, I don't want to be a leader. But that's kind of where God might want you to be, and we want to give you that opportunity. Okay? And it might be that you could be a leader of another class starting up in another part of the city because that's where you live. I don't know. I'm just saying. That's the kind of thing we're looking for. Next slide. Okay, so what do you have to do? We'll go over it. It looks like I got it right on this slide. Yeah. 7:30 each week. Now, if you're a leader, you get here earlier. Just FYI, if you were thinking about that one. Make sure you prepare your lesson. 10 or 15 minutes a day is the best way to do it. Be prepared to share in your group. If you're going to do the lesson, come to the group. Don't be afraid to say what you wrote. It may be completely different than the person next to you. That's okay. It's what God has spoken to you. Okay? So don't be discouraged that you think, why do I always have the wrong answer? There is no wrong answer unless it's completely off the doctrinal. And we'll go through a few of those examples probably this year. But there really are, it's what God is saying to you through the scripture. That's what this is about. And that's how you will grow. And always pray for your group and for your leaders. And there will be a prayer list for the group that you'll have as well. Occasionally there'll be special prayers that go around. Okay? Next one. I think that might even be it. So we promise to start on time, which is what time? And we will provide you the content. We'll deliver messages you can use. You got the content already. Some of it will be spoken. Some of it will be that we just love you. The website, okay, I know that's right. If you ever have a question, which lesson is it? What time? Are we meeting? It's all on the website. So if you haven't gone in to www.cbsmen.com, that's the site. It works great. I checked it out. You should if you haven't. We'll also load the lectures or teachings. We call them teachings now. They renamed it. Each week we will load those so that if you're out of town, which many of you travel, you can do your lesson, listen to the lecture or the teaching, and then you'll miss one part, but you're still going to get 3 out of 4, which is still better than nothing out of 4. Okay? So that's a way that if you're traveling, you can still get the experience of CBS. And we will be praying for you all year. We've already prayed for you to get here tonight. I wanted to point out the CBS mission. Because I don't know that everybody actually reads that thoroughly enough, and it's something you wonder, what is community Bible study all about? Is it just teaching and learning? Is it academic? Is it scholarly? Are you trying to be ordained? What is it? But it's pretty simple. What we're trying to do through this study is help you become disciples of Christ. And to do it through Bible study, but we also are making it available to anyone. That's why I said it's not denominational. There's none of that overhang. That's the mission of CBS. And for those of you who are part of the McLean Bible Church, we're going through a big discipleship program. Discipleship is what it's about. So it's becoming more like Jesus. And we believe that that's what every man needs. And I pray that all of you agree. Next slide. I don't think there is one. So, great. Let me just pray for you, and then I'll let Jerry come on up. Father, we just love you so much that you have brought all these men tonight. And, Lord, we know there's even some men out there that couldn't make it that wanted to come that you will bring to our attention. I pray for every man in this room that he will take what we've said tonight and what we say over the next 30 weeks seriously, and that he will be a big part of this experience, and that he will move closer and closer, whether it's an inch or a mile, to being a disciple of Jesus. We love you, we thank you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. Jerry?
I turned it on. Thank you. I'm more organized than you are. Thank you for that crystal clear presentation, Sandy. Hey, Michael Schick, how you doing? Golly, an old blast from the past. Go, give me a touch. Hey, you went to South Carolina, right? Loser. Christ loves losers. I don't. I only minister to winners, pretty much. All that hype about the Redskins game. I had a guy, old friend, used to live here, big Redskins fan. He lives down in Kentucky now. He texted me at halftime. He said, boy, watching the Redskins hurts. I said, lucky for me, I swapped over to the Eagles halfway through the first quarter. Man, did I dodge a bullet. Can you see Sandy leading you into battle? Well, men, I'd hope to go with you, but they need me here. I'll be watching through heavy lenses. I'm not even going to say that to you. Listen, I am so glad you're here. I'm excited. My socks are rolling up and down. And I'll promise you one thing. You'll never be bored this year. It's a sin to bore people with the gospel. The Bible says the life of the godly is exciting, but the life of the backslider is boring. I plan that you will get a dividend every time you show up. Now, this class could double by next week if you didn't just invite one person. My mentor used to say to me, well, Leachman, God uses people as he using you. So right now, right up front, pray tonight. God, is there anybody you want me to invite? Just tell God the answer is yes. What's the question? You put him in my path and I'll invite him. Now, if he doesn't, fine. But if he does, you can't do anything till you throw your line in the water. I was talking to a fella in his office just 2 days ago, never met him in my life, and he said, what do you do? Now, if you ask me what I do, you're going to go on a little sleigh ride, because I can answer that any way I want. And usually, guess who gets brought up in the conversation? So I started telling him about all this stuff, and Christ kind of came on the screen, and I ended up saying, after all, he said, I left church, I hate it and all that. I said, I get that. But I said, but when you're dead in the box, it's either Jesus or no. I mean, everybody knows that, right? And he said, well, yeah. And I called on him today, and he said, I looked you up on the Internet. I've been listening to your talks. Well, I didn't even know I had talks on the Internet. The point was, I just got Christ on the scoreboard. So the first thing I'd like to tell you, I want you to come here knowing we're just not here to, like, you know, hold hands and sing kumbaya. God has called me to call men to be men and to call you into battle. You'll get a takeaway every time you come here, if I have anything to do with it. And you'll go out that door and you'll have more tools and some more knowledge where you can be a man of God and be part of the problem, a solution in this world and not part of the problem. You know, there's a line in the novel of Human Bondage. It says, and when they died, it was as if they'd never lived. What a tragedy to go through your life. All this potential, all the scripture at our disposal, all the principles, the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ wanting to root and cheer for you. You know, the Bible says there's a crowd of people cheering for Christians down here on their feet, on the field, running the race. Now, I'll tell you, a guy who's on his feet, on the field, running the race, just gave me this shirt. Coach, come on up here, son. I've adopted this guy as my godson. Did you know that? Yeah, well, you're in. Now, I want you to introduce yourself.
Yes, Kevin Simons, head football coach, Fairfax High School.
Head football coach, Fairfax High School. He deserves a round of applause just for that, right? I got my shirt. I went and spoke to his chapel. You know, he wants to have a winning season and be coach of the year in Virginia, and I'm going to wear that with pride. But I came last year and spoke to his chapel. How many kids you got coming to chapel this year, coach?
46
kids. Now, I'll tell you. All right, can you remember anything I said to him last year? What was the main idea?
Carry water.
Keep carrying the water. Keep carrying the water.
Say it now.
Huh?
Kids still say it.
Kids still say it now. Now, that's a takeaway. We teach here in CBS to transform your life, to make you something. You know, keep carrying the water. That's from our study last year, John chapter 3, when they were about to, there was a catering disaster and that wedding was about to run out of wine. And Mary said a prayer to her son, do something. And they told the servants, pick up these big pots of this filthy water. Can you imagine how much those, you ever seen that World's Strongest Man competition? Well, it's strong because the stuff they pick up is not like a barbell where you get a good grip. It's weird stuff like truck tires and stuff, which makes it harder. Now, those servants got included in this miracle. Mary and Jesus, they all did the miracle. Nobody else really knew it. This groom and his family that were going to be disgraced publicly went from disgrace to honor. They said, you've saved the best for the last. You guys rock. Now, that's grace. But the servants never would have seen a miracle if they hadn't kept doing what? Carrying that water. That's me and you. You got to pick up a pot of water, and it may seem like heavy to you. It may seem dirty to you. But I tell you, whatever pot God's got you carrying, whatever burden is in your life tonight, keep carrying the water. Keep carrying the water. Keep carrying the water. You might see a miracle. You put it down, I promise you, you won't. And that's the message to the kids. I think you lost that night, but you know what I like about that? You told me some of those kids, even when you were getting your butts kicked, they go, I don't care. I'm going to keep carrying my water. Now that's what Piper was kind of talking about. This is an honor to me. You know why guys like you matter. Hey, Dave, why don't you stand up? Here's a guy I haven't seen. I saw you a couple of years ago. I was up in, you live up in Maryland somewhere, right? What? Frederick, Maryland. You're coming all the way down here to CBS. Well, God bless you, son. Now, I spoke in your church. Hey, I didn't tell you to sit down. I spoke in your church a couple of years ago, and I know you've lost your father since, but tell them when we first met. And how old are you now? 55. And are you on any boards or anything at your church? Like the vestry, a choir? Yeah. Coach, there you go. He was 13, and he's popped back into my life. Man, you never know. Man, keep carrying the water. I'm so proud of you. Y'all pray for Coach when you think of him, all right? This is what CBS is all about. It's about deploying. It's about getting out there and finding where God wants you to use, being man enough to do it. But apart from that, I used to be in business. I was a commodities trader. Sandy's full Jewish. I'm half Jewish. I'm a Samaritan. My father was Jewish. My mother was Catholic. I was confused for a while, but I got it going now. and all of that is true. But the one thing in business for success, you have to have a fire. You have to be hungry. People who aren't hungry are lazy. They just work for a check. There's no pleasure in their work. There's no fire. They're not going to keep carrying the water. They'll be the first ones to quit. So you have to have a fire. You do have to have a reasonable degree of talent. The other thing you need is product knowledge. I'm shocked when I go in some of these stores and you want to look at a stereo or something. You got to tell the kids how to turn it on. A lot of the people that wait on you don't know anything about the stuff. They have no product knowledge. You're going to get some product knowledge. You need to be equipped. Now listen, Dr. Barker was one of my mentors. He baptized Holly. He taught me the scriptures. Former Navy pilot, man's man. Now he's a PhD in theology, and he taught me the scriptures. He had a definition for a man of God some of you may have heard me say before. It's military. That's his orientation, but I love it. He said, a man of God is this. When the occasion to sin arises, a man of God knows what to do, and he does it expertly. He knows what to do, and he does it expertly. But you can fill in that sin with anything you want. When the occasion arises where there's a chance to get Christ on the scoreboard, the man of God knows what to do, and he does it expertly. So that's the way I'm going to teach. If you have any friends, anybody you think's interested in that, bring them next week. Be somebody. Be used by God and bring them. Just invite them. You know, Andrew found Christ, Andrew, in the Bible. He ended up one of the disciples, one of the apostles. He found Christ. He went and got his brother Peter, who ended up like, you know, Urlacher for Christ, Brian Urlacher for Christ. We don't know what else Andrew exactly did in the Bible, but he went and told his brother, I found Christ. You want to come with me and go meet with him? And Peter goes, yeah. You know, that's like, well, were you in sales? Yeah, I was. How'd it go? I only got one account. Oh, I'm sorry. What account? IBM. Oh, well, that was a pretty good career right there. Somebody led Billy Graham to Christ. They didn't know he was going to be Billy Graham. Have a vision for your life. Have a vision that God can use you. Now, we're going to be studying Joshua. And we're all just about Jesus and the Bible. That's it. We don't do denominational stuff. Like my mom was a Baptist. No Baptist jokes. I'm not going to say things like, if you don't remember who the Baptists are, they're the ones when they baptize you, they hold you under the water till you scream the word tithe. You'll never hear me say stuff like that in here. Those dudes can raise money. And I'm really tired of all you guys talking about Alabama football. I really don't get the point. You know, 3 championships out of 4 years. I mean, who cares? I mean, 8 points favorite this weekend about Texas A&M. I'll never mention that in here. It's, you know, that just doesn't have anything to do with anything, boys. But the first guy out of the chute, this study is called Servants of God. I can't tell you how close this is to the heart of Jesus. Jesus was the ultimate leader, but he was a servant leader. It flipped people. Now, his disciples in the 10th chapter of Mark, they get in a debate who's going to sit at his left and his right. And you talk about chutzpah. They say in front of the other disciples, now look, we've talked it over. You just say yeah. We're going to ask you a favor, but say yeah first. Any of you have kids ever pull that one on you? Don't say yeah first. They said, we're agreed. He's on your right. I'm on your left. He said, you guys are clueless. You don't even know what you're talking about. He said, the greatest among you must be the servant of all. Do you know servants? He said, even me, the Son of Man, didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Do you know servant leaders are the ones that have real power in this world? Now, there's political power. It's not real. It's functional. But it's not deep power. It's not what C.S. Lewis referred to as deep magic. You know, the people that have served you in your life, who've loved you, and you knew they did. The people that have believed in you when nobody else did. They're the ones that have power in your life today. You've heard me tell some of these stories if you've been in here before. This year, because I'm a letterman at Alabama, I got my season tickets. I call my 9th grade coach. My folks had divorced. I was mad at the world, staying out late, didn't study, didn't care. Coach Green was my homeroom teacher in the 9th grade, my biology teacher and my football coach. Coach Green decided he loved me and he believed in Jerry Leachman when not a lot of people did. and he was not going to let me go down the drain. He took me under his arm. He pursued me. He would not let me go. And I've never forgotten it, and I have four grandkids. When I got my season tickets this year from Alabama, I called up Coach Green. He's an old man now. He lives up on a lake. I said, Coach, I know you love Alabama. Would you like to go to any games? He said, you can't get Alabama tickets now. I said, just name the game you want to go to. He said, are you kidding? I want to go to the Auburn game. I said, no, name another one. No, I didn't. I can get $1,000 a ticket for that, you know, in Alabama. I said, you got them. They'll be in the mail. I said, is there another one you'd like to go to? How about homecoming? I'll send you four for that because that's a home game. You know, I sit him down there and I got a voicemail from him. His voice was quivering. I can't believe you did it. Can't believe I did it. Are you kidding me? You love me. You serve me. I'm telling you, that's power. That's raw power. And this is what Jesus is trying to teach us. Our study, everybody we study this year, it's on the book that Sandy's arguing with y'all about, servants of God. Christ was a servant. If our Savior was anything at all, he was a servant. Now, I just want to say this. You'll never have the control of Christ in your life until you achieve meekness. This is the DNA of a man with a servant's heart, is meekness. Now, men don't like that word because it rhymes with weakness, but it's not weak. You don't check your power at the door. You put it under submission. I always talk about the great racehorse Secretariat. They say that might have been the greatest living athlete, human or animal, that ever lived. Last horse to win the Triple Crown, I think, is his final race. He won the Belmont, 37 lengths and running away. People cried when they saw that horse do that. And I went to the Kentucky Derby one time. Guy invited me and Holly, and he said, is there anything else you want to see? I said, I've never even been to Kentucky. And by the way, your grass is not pretty down here. I said, I want to go to the farm where Secretariat was sired and trained and lived, and I'd like to see that horse's grave. Well, I learned something. I saw the grave. I said, that whole horse is right down under me. They said, no, they burned the carcass. They buried the heart of a horse, and that horse's heart weighed 38 pounds. And that horse would run till that big old heart would burst. But that horse achieved meekness. You think Secretariat was weak, Big Red? No. You'd have stood 10 feet from that thing and you'd have been scared. It let a little 130-pound jockey get on it and guide it and ride it to glory. Hold back, hold, and let him go. Had that horse stay wild, selfish, uncontrolled, you'd have never heard its name once. But because it achieved meekness, it was ridden to glory. You know, Christ wants to ride you to glory, boys, but you won't let him. What is meekness? Meekness is kind of a legal forensic maneuver. Meekness is when you voluntarily transfer your personal rights over to God. You'll never be a servant unless you transfer your personal rights. You know, one of the character traits, Joshua, the first guy out of the blocks we're going to study, was the son of Nun, and he was called a servant of Moses. Joshua never minded playing second fiddle to Moses. You know, when Moses went up on Mount Sinai and communed with God all that time, Joshua got to go with him. But he waited a distance from Moses patiently. He never usurped Moses' authority. He never undercut Moses' authority. He served Moses. He served Moses. Do you know Joshua is one of the few men in Scripture that was never directly rebuked? It's amazing. Now, that doesn't mean he was sinless, but he had a servant's heart. Then when he led, he was a servant. He was fearless. Do you know having a servant's heart, you will lose your fear of people? And do you know why? Because you don't want anything from them. Think about it. When you want something from people, you're afraid of them. Because when you're with them, do I look good? Did I say the right thing? Did I have a good hair day? You get in the car, oh my gosh, I wish he said that. And you're a nervous wreck. You're full of fear and anxiety. If you just go to serve them, you have no fear because you're there to give. You don't want anything from them. During the presidency of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, one of his greatest aides was a man named Harry Hopkins. Franklin Roosevelt received much criticism because of his choice of Hopkins. But because Hopkins was old, frail, and feeble, there were many other well-qualified candidates to fill the position that Harry Hopkins occupied. However, one day, Franklin Delano Roosevelt silenced his critics when they asked him why he kept Harry Hopkins around. He said, quote, "Invariably, everyone who walks through my door wants something. But Harry Hopkins, he only wants to serve me. And that's why I keep Harry Hopkins around." Harry Hopkins was a nobody with a servant's heart and the leader of the free world anointed him. Listen to him. Harry Hopkins had a servant's heart. Harry Hopkins had power with the president, with the king. You know, Harry Hopkins achieved meekness. I had a younger brother, Brad. A lot of people in this world wouldn't have said my brother amounted to much. My little brother Brad was 7 years younger than me. We didn't have a dad, so growing up I had to be a half dad and a half big brother to him, and I hated that. All I wanted to be was a brother. But we had no dad, so I was kind of the enforcer. You know, my brother Brad was a servant. He was meek, and he had a servant's heart. He never went to college. He graduated from trade school because I made him go, and he said, "Well, what are you going to do me if I don't go?" I said, "I'll track you down and I'll whip your butt." He said, "Well, that's not real Christian." I said, "Well, I don't care. You see if I'm going to do it or not." And he decided to go to trade school wisely. He could run a printing press. When our mother died, but he was a drug addict and an alcoholic. And when our mother died at the funeral, he said, "I've wasted the first half of my life, and I know Christ." He said, and without even going to a meeting, he quit everything for life and became a missionary to orphans in Central America. Now, he lived up in York, Pennsylvania, and he would travel back and forth. And he said to me, "I was always the glory guy. I was in the headlines. I was the football guy. I spoke at conferences. Everybody knew me. Nobody knew my brother." My brother never begrudged me. Every time we talked, he said, "Jerry, you're my hero." I would literally speak at events in Pennsylvania, and people would not know he was my brother, and I'd see him moving along the back rows. You know what he'd be doing? Nobody knew who he was. He'd go, "That guy's the greatest speaker that ever lived. He is awesome. This rocks." And he'd do that. And people, yeah, you know. When it'd be over, he'd stand up first and start clapping. They see him stand up, and they go, "Oh, I guess this is a standing up." So they'd stand up. I got more standing ovations when he was in the audience. He told me one time, he said, "You know, God's gifted you. You give the talks and all that stuff." He said, "I feel God's pleasure when I'm pouring concrete." The last time I talked to him, he died about 7 years ago in an orphanage. The missionaries with him think that he saw through to the other side before he went, because he was pouring concrete up on the second story with a hose, and he threw his hands up like that and he said, "I'm ready." They feel he saw through to the other side. I've seen this as a chaplain when I've been with people during their last moments. And he was dead in 3 minutes. His heart exploded or something, I don't know. You know, there were 700 people at his funeral, and there was a coffin out in front of the church and a pair of work boots on top. There was a rainstorm down there at one point, and he'd taken his boots off. He saw an Indian man with a son, and that man was barefoot. My brother took his boots off and gave it to that Indian man. My brother walked out of the jungle barefoot and bloodied up his feet. He never said a word about it, never told anybody he did it. I heard it from somebody else, another missionary that was there. So they had a pair of boots. 700 people came to his funeral. How many people think you'd get in your funeral? Could you get 700? Now, when he could never raise enough support. So he kind of worked and he went and he worked and he went. And his job here, he was a janitor in his church. He quit his printing job so he could go. I tell you, I saw the floors he polished, and they were masterpieces. When my brother polished a floor, he polished it to the glory of God. That was his worship. You know, after his funeral, I was just standing around the church, one last look around, thinking I won't be back up here much anymore. And a guy walked in with a beautiful pinstripe suit. He said, "You're Brad's brother, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm on the elder board at this church. I'm president of the bank." He said, "I just got to tell you, Mr. Leachman, I don't know what it was, but every time I came in here, I see your brother polishing the floor. When I come in, he'd stop me. He'd walk over and greet me." He said, "I envied him, but I never understood why, because I'm a bank president," not to put him down, but he was kind of just the floor polisher here at the church. "And I don't know why I envied him." I said, "I can tell you why." He said, "I wish you would." I said, "He's free." And he was free. He was over himself. He was a servant. You're not. No offense, but you asked me to tell you the reason, that's it. He said, "I know it. I know it." Servants have power. I know they have power with God, and I think that's why they have power with people. You think of the people that have served you. We're going to talk more, and I'm going to give you some assignments later this year, but I want to just close with a couple of thoughts. You know, my brother's funeral, when I spoke, was one of the speakers. I was jogging, and I had the headset on the radio, and I heard this song, You're My Hero by Bette Midler. Now, when would you ever think that God would use Bette Midler in your life? Like, never? When I heard the words of the song, it brought tears to my eyes. I thought, oh my gosh, that's my brother. And this is me singing this song. It must have been cold there in my shadow to never have the sunlight on your face. You were content to let me shine. That's your way. You always walked a step behind. Do you know Moses could have sung this song about guess who? Joshua. So I was the one with all the glory, while you were the one with all the strain. A beautiful face without a name for so long, a beautiful smile to hide the pain. Did you ever know that you're my hero? And everything I would like to be. I can fly higher than an eagle, for you are the wind beneath my wings. It might have appeared to go unnoticed, but I got it all here in my heart. I want you to know, I know the truth. Of course I know it. I would be nothing without you. Men, I want you to take this study to heart. Don't miss. Get up here. Get other people up here. Having a servant's heart, this is running off tackle when it comes to walking with God. This is blocking and tackling. This is core. You know, you'll lose your fear too when you become a servant. Those 12 spies were sent out. They came back. 10 of them said, "These guys look like giants. They'll roll us like dice." Joshua and Caleb said, "These dudes are grasshoppers. We can take them." They were fearless. Joshua and Caleb. Hey, somebody name me one of the 10 other guys. That's right. You don't know and you don't give a crap. They were selfish and they weren't servants and they were cowards. Revelation says no place for cowards in heaven. You know, I'd like to just tell you one more example and read a little poem to you that I really like here at the end. You could say, well, your brother was humble. Maybe it was easy for him to be. No, it's not. I've been to Africa. I've been all over the world. Being a servant, being humble, has nothing to do with how much money you have. It really doesn't. Some of the most arrogant people I've ever seen had nothing at all, and they were stiff-necked and arrogant. But I tell you, a guy that impressed me, he's in an exalted position, but a guy I had an encounter with recently, and this will kind of be my last example. I'll read this poem for you that just, I can't stop thinking about him. Now, I might have mentioned this to you. Don't think I'm a traitor, but Christ is way more important to me than the National Football League. I got a call from Lee Corder last year, and he said, hey, Seattle Seahawks are coming into town to play the Redskins in the first playoff game. Would you do their chapel Saturday night before the game? I said, yeah. Now, when Tucker found out about it, he wasn't happy. He said, you're going to go talk to the Seahawks? I said, it's about Christ. He goes, Dad, this is the Redskins. You know, what are you thinking? Well, we got a half-hour chapel, and in the NFL, if they tell you it's a half-hour, it's a half-hour, because then they go to the next meeting, and the next meeting is kind of run like the military. So I started the meeting on Mark 10, on the servant leadership that we've referenced tonight, when Christ said, the greatest of you must be the least. Now, some guy this big walks in about 8-9 minutes late in my meeting, and I thought, who is this dude coming in here late? But he had a Bible and a notebook, so I thought, okay, he's serious. He's got a Bible and a... Then he sits right there by me. So it's about 5 minutes left in the message. I'm watching my clock because they got to go to their offense and defensive meetings. I wanted to save about 3 minutes for a little prayer time. And I look over. This guy's taking a page of notes. I said, all right, he's really smart. He took a page of notes while I talk. This guy gets it. Okay, well, we have a prayer time. And I said, all right, men, lock arms. Let's have a little prayer. One of the fun things about getting older is you can just talk to them like they're your own son. You know, and they kind of, yes, sir. And then there was this great big tackle. I'm looking at this guy. I said, you be the last one so we won't all be weirded out wondering if the prayer time's over, okay? He said, yes, sir. And so I started a prayer. Oh, Lord, you know. Then this little guy next to me starts praying, oh, God, we pray that you would see us today. No weapon formed against you will prosper. God, it's not us. It's all you. We want to serve you. We love you. We're nobody. We don't know our way out. We don't know how to come in without you, God. We're just as little children before you. This guy's praying down heaven. And so when he's through, it's silent. I'm looking around the huddle, and I look at some guy like, they're like, I ain't praying after this dude. Are you crazy? So I looked up the tackle. He's like, now, boss? And I'm like, yeah, now. Oh, Lord. You know, so he pray. I'm not a good public prayer. So it's over, and I have him give the peace of the Lord. The peace of the Lord be with you and also with you. So we shake, give him the peace of the Lord, and then they had to go to their meeting. This guy stays. So I look at him. I go, now, you're with the team, right? Looking back, I couldn't believe his humility. His head goes down like this. I mean, he wasn't pricked. He wasn't offended in any way. He was just soft. His head went down. He looked up. He said, yes, sir. Speaking to me, a nobody, with respect like that. He said, yes, sir. I'm with the team. I said, well, I'm thinking front office, player, kicker. I said, so you're a player, right? His head goes down. He goes, yes, sir. I said, well, what's your position? Quarterback. I said, are you Russell Wilson? Yes, sir. Then I couldn't help it. I went, shut up! And I just pulled him in, gave him a hug. I said, son, I'm sorry. I guess I'm just getting old. I didn't have any of your... You don't look... I mean, I couldn't even finish a sentence, you know. No graceful way. He said, I get that all the time. Don't worry. He said, would you mind if I just could stay with you? Would you pray over me that I could just be God's servant? I said, I'm going to lay my hands on you and I'm going to pray for you, son. And he's like this. Unbelievable. Then he goes out there and tears the Redskins up. RG gets hurt. And if you notice, there was a shot of him. And what was he doing on the field? Had a knee publicly praying for RG. I thought, that guy's a servant. You ought to pray for that kid. You don't want guys like that to have a fall. What humility. What a servant's heart. Sure impressed me. Now, what about you? Will anybody ever give up and give a talk about you like I just gave a talk about my beloved brother, servant of God and servant of Jerry Leachman? The last time I talked to him before he flew on his last mission trip, I was on Route 7 on my cell phone. I said, "I love you, little brother." He said, "I love you." He said, "You're my hero." I said, "No, you're my hero." Pretty good finish. Think about your life as we close tonight, men. This ain't a Bible study. This is a place we want to come and all of us be changed. I'm just chasing after Christ, and I'm just inviting a bunch of you to get on the train and take the ride and chase after him with me. Pray if God wants you to get somebody in here and be a man and do it. Invite them. What are they going to do? Roll you out in the front yard and whip your butt or something? Nothing will happen to you. Let's have a little prayer. Lord, thank you for guys like my beloved brother Brad. The power of his example. The way he humbled himself and polished floors in his church to your glory. You can't fake that. You can fake speaking at a conference. You can fake giving a testimony at a big prayer breakfast at the Hilton. But you can't fake shining a floor to the glory of God. Lord, thank you for guys like Russell Wilson, who you put on national TV, and he just feels like he's your servant. It's all about you and not about him. How refreshing. Thank you for this gentleman that served President Roosevelt. Lord, if you are anything at all, you're a servant. And you've called us this year to study servants. Not just to know about them, but I got a real feeling you want us to be a servant. Lord, that's where the power is. It's the upside down, inside out kingdom. So I pray these men would think about this as they drive home and as they lay in bed tonight. I pray they'd think and say prayers for the people that have served them in their life. Maybe drop them a note or a letter of thanks. Pray you'd prick some guys to do that. So Lord, we ask your guidance this year. Thank you that these men have assembled. Seems like the whole world's going to hell in a handbasket, and you let us peaceably come up here and open Bibles and talk about you. What a privilege. So we just say thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Well, I like to end with the peace. The peace of the Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let's offer us each other the peace as we depart, brothers.